You're listening to the EBITDA Growth Systems Making Business Profitable podcast with profitability experts Dave Kapkowitz and Mike Watkins.
Coming at you from 5,675 feet in lovely Golden, Colorado. My name is Dave Kapkowitz, and I'm here with Michael Watkins, living our mission statement to impact lives through improving business performance. We accomplish this by coaching, speaking, and educating so you can live your best life.
Good day, Dave.
Good day, Michael. How you doing, pal?
Just another day, man. Just another day. What's up with you?
You know, just kind of hanging out in the office here, enjoying a great week, and bumped into a fella. So this guy climbs a little bit, from what I understand.
What does that mean? Like stairs? Because I live in a three-story home.
Yeah, that's about my summoning. But this guy's he's climbed the seven summits of the world, man. So I bumped into him, and we struck up a really good friendship, much like our first meeting. You know, it's good, real good guy. And his name's Scott Cutlin, and we got him here in the booth, man.
So, Scott, man, we are dying to hear your story, and so good to have you here. I'm glad Dave brought you in. I'm humbled because I have a problem with height, so the whole idea of you summoning the seven highest peaks is just beyond me, so well done.
Yeah, how big is the group of people that have actually done that?
Yeah, guys, first of all, thanks for having me here. Collectively, about 500.
500 people in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and you leave in 2.5 weeks to do what?
Yeah, you've got it. So in 2.5 weeks, it's a privilege and it's an honor to be invited to climb the north side of Everest out of Tibet or China. And, you know, it's a whole different ball game on that side of the mountain.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you back home safe and sound so we can talk more about it. And so excited. Scott's written a book that he's going to release that maybe we'll talk about a different time. But I love his heart. And one thing that Mike and I have in common with Scott is we love entrepreneurs and leaders, and we love feeding into people that are trying to make a big difference in a company that has impact on employees and an impact on community. So that's where our heart is. So, Mike, tell me what we're talking about today.
Well, you know, it's timely because you and I have been talking about the fact that some of our business owners are actually holding their companies back. I mean, we give them advice and counsel, and they listen and just say, "Well, no, I don't think I'm going to do that." And we say, "Okay, I mean, you know, you're paying us. We give you advice and counsel, but ultimately you have to use it." And I think this topic is going to have really good intersection with what Scott's doing. I think there's some application. I think there's some practical application between, you know, being an entrepreneur and running a business and scaling a summit. I mean, I think there's some takeaways. So I'm really interested in doing that little dance this morning.
Oh, man, this is going to be so cool. So the title is, Are You Holding Your Company Back? So from what we're seeing in the statistics on our show, there's a decent amount of machinists and manufacturing leaders, managers that listen to our podcast, as well as quite a few manufacturing company owners listen to our podcast. So if you're an owner or you're a leader, you have to ask yourself, are you holding your company back? Is it you? So what's the first part of this, Mike?
Well, I think in the PE arena, the M&A arena, startup arena, it's common knowledge that the individual who starts a company typically isn't the person who is going to have it grow or certainly take it public. I mean, it's just a different skill set. And so the small to medium-sized manufacturer, the owner, the business owner, has some traits that make him or her a really good entrepreneur. And it's some, like, almost ADHD ability to go from topic to topic and just work around the clock, very single-mindedness. What's another word for it? Just no collaboration, right? I mean, just problem solving. Working in a vacuum. And, you know, those aren't the traits that are going to make a person a good CEO for a publicly traded company. So what do you think about that, Scott? I mean, how does that relate to, you know, undertaking a life or death, really? If you're going to scale a summit, one of the seven summits in the world, that's a life or death proposition. And I guess starting a business in the United States isn't exactly a life or death proposition, but it could be. I mean, you could tank yourself and your family, and, you know, by making bad decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of crossover in being an entrepreneur or CEO. Inherently, there's risk. We make decisions to move forward. In the mountaineering world, there's risks. We make decisions to move forward or not. And so when we look at the two individual people, they're really a lot of the same DNA structure there. Personally, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I've also worked for companies and in high-functioning roles. And, you know, you go into that business situation, whether it's manufacturing or you know, whatever, the case is within that DNA is we have to be able to make decisions. We have risk tolerances. And you have to know why you're there, and not only why you're there, but who's around you and how to execute your plan. In the mountaineering world, we certainly want to go into it understanding routes, weather, cultural conditions, travel, what it's going to take to successfully succeed. And it's literally one step in front of the other. And in that correlation, a word comes to my mind in the mountaineering world is approach a mountain with rigid flexibility.
Yeah, I gotta understand rigid flexibility, because that makes me feel like that's pretty much, that describes my flexibility. I don't know about yours,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, it describes my bad back.
yeah, it's something that will resonate. So we'll have a plan of attack, right? You have your rations, you have the people that are going to help you, or you know, skill sets, timing, permits. How is everything aligning? But nothing ever goes to plan. So how do you deal with that? So you're rigid in your plan, you're rigid in your parameters of tolerances. There's a lot of people that will negotiate what's safe or what they should do based on summit fever. We can also see that in business. Like, we have that goal. What are we gonna risk? Are we gonna fall outside those tolerances to execute a sale that's gonna take us above the line? I don't know about you guys, but I have certainly fallen flat putting that objective over my tolerances.
Oh, absolutely. You get in front of your skis. You get ahead of your skis, man. And in business, in machine shops specifically, people are so hungry to buy equipment. And next thing you know is your debt to equity is way upside down and you're chasing cash. You're working all these hours and it keeps you up at night. And that is one common theme that would match that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second point is flexibility. So as we are negotiating, perhaps the equipment purchase, what orders are out there, what sort of ROI is in that in the short term, but in the long term? Is it a new product? Is it something that's going to be sustainable for the business? In mountaineering, we have an objective. We all want to get to the top. But folks, it's not really about the summit. You know, not to sound cliche, the journey is very important. Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the purpose of it? What are we going to self-reflect on for ourselves within that journey? How are we going to share that with others for a greater purpose? And I can tell you, with the mountains I've climbed around the world, the people is a magnificent experience. It's opened the doors for us to gain access to villages for projects around the world. And if for me personally, if I was only focused on the summit, none of these things would have happened.
Yeah, that is very well said. So if, like me, my summit's pretty much 9,000 feet when I get to my house, right? So that's, and I told you, I said, this is kind of almost so junior, it's almost ridiculous saying, but I really want to climb a 14er. The only 14er I've done is driving to the top of Pikes, right? So it's not the same, but I've always wanted to climb. Just when I ski, I love to see the majesty of our earth. And it reminds me of why I believe what I believe and where I stand, right? So there's tremendous beauty in what we have here. So with that, you can't just get up one day and turn it around, man. You got to train. So if you're really good and you have a lot of talents, what got you into being an entrepreneur and being really good, it might, those things, like Mike said, might really hold you back. So yeah. I think the second step is you really have to look at yourself in the mirror and self-evaluate, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, something to go back to is you have to climb. As business owners, what does a climb look like? I mean, we're going through the muck. I mean, there's a beautiful demonstration of that in mountaineering, is you're taking steps, you're climbing. You get up high, you sleep low. You get up high, you sleep low. And I love that analogy you brought up, is just climbing. I mean, what are we willing to climb to achieve our goals?
Yeah, I think that's a good segue too, Scott, to the fact that, you know, you're going to have to look yourself in the mirror and really be honest with yourself if you're gonna have your business be successful, because you might have some skills that are very unique that gives your business a competitive edge, but those skills may not be the end-all be-all. Like, you still have to have operational expertise, you got to have financial expertise, you have to have sales and marketing expertise. So if you're the kind of guy who says it's my way or the highway, I don't know anything about accounting, but when I bring in an accountant, I want to argue with the accountant, and the accountant went to school to be an accountant. You don't know anything about accounting, but your personality is just an aggressive, I know it all, don't worry about me, I got it under control. So then you're just running, you said successful scaling of a mountain is all about people, 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 and your relationship with those people. If you're a business owner and you can't maintain relationships with your best and brightest, you're in the way of your business's success.
Absolutely spot on. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, just even that looking yourself in the mirror, I think we've probably all been in that situation with what you were describing there, is where you're just running so fast, so hard. And then if we go to how we kick this off, if we're looking at M&A or PE, what skill sets are transferable? I mean, that's a pretty hefty topic, because how many business owners just muscle everything? And so if we're looking to the mountain side of things, we make decisions constantly, all day. I mean, most of us know about weather, but we're eating foods. How does our GI system work? At altitude, it's not working. How do you get sleep? How do you maintain energy levels? These are all things that can be transferable in becoming a more skilled climber. So we start planning towards, okay, my body's going to do this at this point in time. If it doesn't, here's my plan. And you just keep building on that plan, building on that plan, building on that plan. And that reminds me of a story in 2021 on Everest in the South Side. In 2021, I mean, that probably resonates with most of y'all. We're coming out of the infamous COVID period, right? Like, mm-hmm. What does business look like? What does that customer-client relationship have in common with what it was pre-COVID? I mean, things just inherently changed. And in the climbing world in Everest, it was horrible. People were sick. There was too many people. Plans were demolished. Weather came in. There was the largest cyclone out of the Bay of Bengal, and the jet stream was up. So weather was crashed. And how are we going to choose to make decisions? How are we going to choose to look in the mirror with our decisions? I can tell you, folks, firsthand, I saved I don't know how many people on that mountain. But most people are focused internally on themselves to get to that summit. And it is so almost devastating to remember looking into people's eyes where they're so unaware of their external circumstances and just self-centered to get to their goal, where me personally, my focus is external to others and to reach that hand. Like, we know that climbing reach, right? Like, forearm to forearm, pulling somebody out. You're able to look at them in the eye and know you made a difference. Nobody else sees it, but you can make a difference. So back to looking to the mirror, like, wow, what if we treat our employees that way? What if we treat our clients that way? What if we treat the people down the street that way? How does that tie back into our business, what we're known for, and what the business opportunity is?
And honestly, that's why we do what we do. I mean, business comes and goes, money comes and goes, but the relationships stick with you forever, right? Because life's short, and you got to be able to look yourself in the mirror and understand, this is where I'm strong, this is where I'm weak, and then what? And then what, Mike? What's after you do that, what's next step?
Well, you know, I think it's wonderful to have someone coming alongside you. Like you said, a Sherpa is someone who comes alongside you in the mountain. They understand the mountain. They understand the conditions, born and raised in that environment, so that, you know, they can help you survive. And so as a business owner, it's good to have, you know, we're consultants, but it's good to have someone who's going to collaborate with you and tell you, hey, what you just said, that was stupid. Or no, you don't want to go in that direction. You know, you want to go in this direction. No, don't buy that machine. Your other machines are underutilized, man. Don't buy that. Right? I mean, so someone who's coming alongside you and saying this or that, and then you have to have the will to accept feedback and direction and suggestion from other people. Sometimes even orders. I mean, Dave and I have had clients where if you do that, we're kind of done, because you're taking up our time when we could be helping someone else, right? I mean, that's what, you know, so do you have the will to do what you need to do?
Yeah, it's all about, are you willing to make a change? And you don't just wake up one day and say, well, some people do just wake up one day and say, I'm going to climb the seven summits. Some people feel led to do something, and they have a mission in life. And that's why I love you, Scott. I mean, to see how driven you are to take the things you've learned in life and then impart it on others, it's amazing. But people that run a business, they have to be willing, just have to be willing to say, I'm really good at this, but I'm not good at this. And then they have to be willing to accept help from people that want to help them. Or if they can't find anybody who wants to help them, search out somebody that can help them. And the willingness to actually put their ego aside for a second, admit that they don't know everything, and accept some good counsel. Right?
Yeah, I love it. And my mind is going towards mountaineering, right? And we say Sherpa. And just automatically, I zoom back to 2021. And there's certain people, we hire Sherpa. It's a community. They're people. And they're there to assist us on our climb because, one, they're physiologically amazing. They're literally bred to be there. And they will do anything and drop everything for somebody. And they're there to help aid us in our success to reach our goal of the summit and do it safely within those tolerances. But it takes me back to this moment where I literally saw, quote unquote, a climber, hands spread out wide, feet out wide, demanding the Sherpa put on their crampons. They're not there to fill our inadequacies. They're there to assist us, to help us with direction. And there's this mentality of, I paid them, so they will do. And it's maybe back to one of your points of, they're there to be a partner, not to take over basic skill sets, basic requirements of what we should know, and go back to performance of physical, mental skill, right? Same thing in business. As consultants, assist, identify, recommend. Now we execute, get to your summit.
Well, that must have been an American, because that's what we do. We just feel like we paid money, so that's unfortunate. But that is kind of the makeup of a lot of people we encounter, the entrepreneurs, you know, with smallish companies, but, you know, big hat, no cattle is what me and Dave call it, right? I mean, I put my pants on one leg at a time just like you. I'm going to come alongside of you, but there's opportunity cost when I do that. For the Sherpa, there's opportunity cost. I can help you, or I can help that fellow who wants to help themselves. And that seems like it's an easier decision to make when you have someone who wants to help themselves. So that's just a big thing. Yeah, are you going to look in the mirror, assess yourself, and then be willing to change and accept, you know, the feedback from people?
And a word that comes to mind right away is accountability, right? So we have those, and we want to be self-aware, own the fact of what we're choosing to say or what we get to say, be accountable, and then application, right? I think application in that guidance is probably the easy part. If we got to work with the personal skills on the front end of that, and own where we're at currently and understand where we do need help and accept that help for that guidance. Back to the Sherpa example, I mean, they're there. Let's just go to Americans. We cannot summit without them. They have the know-how. And the fact is when you're up at 28,000 feet, 29,000 feet, we can think. Perhaps some of these business owners are sitting at 29,000 feet and some of the information is not so clear. So logic's out of the window. And we know from counseling, right? You can't feed logic to somebody that's not reasonably in that mindset. And so the Sherpas help guide us. They help with an oxygen mask. Put one step in front of four. Come on, Scott, you got this. Very basic skill sets, but we're partnering up to take those steps to stay safe, meet our goals, and execute.
Yeah, the will part of this whole thing is amazing. So you can read 1,000 books. You can talk to 1,000 people. You can have all the right business plans in front of you. You can actually be highly skilled. But if you don't have the will to look back and look at yourself in the mirror and the will to look at, hey, this is what got me here, but will this get me to the next point? If you don't have the will to look at the top of that mountain, and 3/4 of the way up there, it gets harder. Every step gets harder. I'm telling you all my mountaineering knowledge, right? But the amount of will that it's going to take you in a couple weeks to the north face of Everest as a solo guy with a Sherpa doing something fantastic, the amount of will that you'll exercise, if business owners would take a fraction of that will and apply it to being a really good boss, a really good leader, a caring person that's there for the tending and caring of his or her people. Mm. They can make such a difference in their company. When they make a difference in their company, make a difference in profits, right? And with the profits, you can make a difference in people's lives in your organization and therefore in the community. And that's what drives us. So with all that, we wish you tremendous success, tons of safety. We'll be thinking about you while you're up there, praying for you and your family, your safety coming back home, and we can't wait to hear, you know, the things that you discovered on those climbs and all that good stuff.
Lord be with you, brother. Godspeed. Right on, Dave.
Right on, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
If you'd enjoyed this podcast and you're in manufacturing and you want to learn more about what we do, go to our contact tab at ebitdagrowthsystems.com, EBITDA, growthsystems.com, and I'll be reaching out to you personally to see what we can do for you.
You've been listening to the EBITDA Growth Systems podcast, Making Business Profitable. Too busy, early. You can't get
Chicago.